More than 140 Catholic cardinals met at the Vatican today, the first day of deliberations before the process of selecting the next pope officially begins. After today's meeting, Cardinal Francis George, Archbishop of Chicago, stated that the next pope must commit himself to, quote, the universal code of the church, which is zero tolerance for anyone who has abused a child. And yet, as former priest and Catholic observer James Carroll puts it, every man about to enter the Sistine Chapel to select the next pope bears some responsibility for the culture that allowed such abuse to persist in the first place. Carroll is a distinguished scholar and resident at Suffolk University. He writes frequently. He's a columnist, I should say, for the Boston Globe. James Carroll, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Magna. Nice to hear your voice.
It's terrific to have you back on the show. Let me first ask you, you wrote in the Globe that the church has locked itself up, quote, in a dungeon of deceit, hypocrisy, and corruption. Do you see the process of selecting the next pope as an opportunity to unlock the church leadership from that dungeon?
Well, it's clearly an invitation to do exactly that. The catastrophic collapse of the moral order of the hierarchy is on full display now. And these are men who must begin, in Václav Havel's great phrase, living in the truth, which they haven't been doing for quite a while. And of course, the priestly sex abuse scandal is only the most obvious manifestation of that. But there are plenty of others. In fact, the resignation of Pope Benedict XVI is a manifestation of it, in my view. Mm-hmm. So these are men responding to a huge moral crisis that has political dimensions, cultural dimensions, social dimensions, but it's at bottom an opportunity for a kind of moral reformation. This is a moment comparable to the 16th century Reformation that was sparked by Martin Luther, and in the Catholic world brought to a kind of climax with the great reforming council of the Council of Trent, which convened 30 or so years after Luther sparked the Reformation. Mm. So the church has been through comparable catastrophic events like this before, but never under these circumstances and these pressures. And I expect a profound change to come out of these events in Rome these weeks.
You do, because that's interesting. Because I mean, I know many church observers might say that, regardless of what cardinals might say in press conferences outside of the Sistine Chapel, they don't. I mean, their interests and their goals when they're inside the conclave don't necessarily align with what they say, you know, to the public. Do you see any way to bring those two things into alignment?
Well, I'm no insider, and I don't know. I don't have a clue what they're saying to each other. But these are intelligent, attuned, and sensitive people. And they see what the world sees now, which is a church in crisis. Cardinal Casey, the British cardinal who has been disgraced in recent weeks because of allegations and now apparently admissions of inappropriate homosexual activity, is a case in point. Cardinal Casey embodies the hypocrisy of a church which is vigorous in its opposition to gay rights and yet presides over a clerical culture in which homosexual impulses are shameful, denigrated, and lead to profound dysfunction in the way in which all sexual matters are treated by the Catholic Church today. That's the essence of the locked box that these men find themselves in now. There's been a corrupt a core to Catholic teaching on sexuality through most of the 20th century, climaxing in the renewal of the Church's condemnation of birth control in 1968. Which set the church into a culture of deceit because the hierarchy pretends to impose a moral teaching that the laity pretends to more or less accept. And yet everyone knows from scientific polling data that contraception is not accepted by the Catholic mm-hmm. people. And that's a much discussed, almost hackneyed issue in Catholic circles. And yet it has been deeply, deeply corrupting. It's to be compared with the Galileo affair as a world historic mistake on the part of the Catholic hierarchy. And it took the hierarchy hundreds of years to begin to recover from the Galileo affair. These cardinals gathered today are having to respond to a new Galileo affair. That's precisely what they're faced with. And so it doesn't matter anymore whether they're conservatives or reactionaries or men of the old order. They're all faced with the same pressure. It's historic pressure. They can't ignore the profound revolutions that have swept through human consciousness in the last century.
But Mr. Carroll, if I may interrupt there, this is so interesting to me because I hear you making the analogy between the crisis that the church is facing now and, as you said, you know, the Galileo crisis or even, you know, several others that you pointed to that took centuries for, in your words, the church to recover from. However, I mean, in this day and age, the church can't afford to wait centuries to recover from this crisis, can it? I mean, what makes this moment different than the opportunity the cardinals had 6 years ago when they elected Benedict XVI to head the global Catholic Church?
Well, the mechanisms of denial were still in full force 6 years ago, and Benedict was riding high as the commander-in-chief of those forces of denial. The single largest manifestation of the failure of that impulse is the collapse of Benedict's own will as the Pope in the Catholic Church. The revolutionary act that he took last week to resign as Pope. I mean, you can't underestimate what a profound shift this represents. So nothing the cardinals can do in the conclave can be as radical as what Pope Benedict has already done. And basically, he has thrown down the gauntlet to them. This is a time for massive change. He's no liberal. He doesn't want liberal change, but he knows that there's a catastrophe unfolding in the church today, and the cardinals have to pick up the pieces of it.
Well, James Carroll is a distinguished scholar in residence at Suffolk University and a columnist for the Boston Globe. James Carroll, thank you so much, as always, for joining us.
My pleasure. Bye.
Well, stick with us, because coming up, we'll talk to Congressman Stephen Lynch about his bid for the U.S. Senate. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.